Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana, virtually. How are you? What's happening? What's going on in NYC?
Virtually, I'm great. You know, real life is pretty good too. I feel like there's going to be like 60 degrees here in the next couple of days. So I'm feeling like a positive New York energy coming with, all those vaccinations. And very exciting news at Betches. So me, Aileen, and Sammy are hosting a podcast, or we're taking over the At Betches podcast from now on. And we're going to be talking about, in our first season, we're going to be talking about everything from like us being in high school together to being in college, how we started Betches, and everything after that. So I'm really excited about that. And if you check out Betches.com, we have a whole new website rebrand. It looks awesome. You guys are going to love it. Check out the merch. Check out the website. It's going to be great.
I love it. This is like, you guys are like redoing the pot. Like, I like that the gang's back together. Like, I think that's great.
Yes. Well, it's fun. I mean, I know you listen to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I listen also.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, it feels like someone's like having a conversation sometimes. I'm like not invited, because like, I feel like I'm the third.
Sure.
And I'm like, I miss that a little bit. Like, it's funny when we did it before, we were like, sometimes it felt a little like, oh, we got to do this again. But this time it's like very exciting. We've got a lot of energy. We miss each other. So it's fun. It's going to be a fun listen. We've already done a couple episodes.
Yeah. It's like a catch up because I think, and this is kind of goes back to like a lot of people's relationships right now. Like when you're inside with your significant other for, months on end, you're like, we've done this story before. We've done this conversation before. But since you guys are like, you guys are all kind of doing your own thing. It's like, it feels like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like, you guys are going to each the story, a little bit.
It does feel like that. That's funny. It does. It definitely has that vibe. And it definitely can. I can see that also with relationships. Like, Mike now is going to the office like one or two days a week. And when he leaves, it's like so great to be able to miss him. Because
totally.
I do like it really does take someone kind of like not being around, I think, for you to be like, oh, like it seems like they're annoying, but it's actually, they bring an energy.
Yeah, you should tell that to my girlfriend about me being in Aruba right now. That would be a.
Yeah, well, give us the update. What's going on in Aruba?
I'm in Aruba. You're like, what is happening in Aruba, Jared? No, I'm doing. There's a comic, Ray Ellen, who does amazing shows here. If anyone ever travels to Aruba, he's Aruba Ray, and he puts on shows here. Bless you. At hotels, and it's really nice. And to come to the island, you have to take like, the PCR test, you have to go through the testing and everything. And I've done this show a bunch of other times, but it's just been really nice to see, socially distanced shows where the tables are far apart. It's in a ballroom and everyone here is like, it's weird on an island. You're like almost more comfortable because everyone had to get tested like a day before they came here.
Right. So it feels like almost safer than it would be if you were doing a show in any other random U.S. state.
Totally. Like, not everyone had a test within a day ago from going to like another show, no matter what. So that's nice. But also it's just, of course, I'm in Aruba. Things are pretty amazing. It's hard. The hardest part about being here is being careful about telling people, about being too much about being here. Do you know what I mean?
I am so fucking jealous of you being in Aruba. I love Aruba. I love the sun. I don't have any of those things right now.
I know.
Yeah. It's funny. I think I probably talked about this in the podcast. When I was a kid, that was like our family vacation spot. We'd go there like every year. So great. Always great weather there.
Always. You can count on the weather. So listen, if anyone's here, go to Aruba Ray's comedy show because it's always fun and it's something to do. And then, you know, it's just like, and the weather is like you're talking about 60 degree day, but I understand like the New York City Northeast 60 degree day. That's like
in March,
it's like a breath of fresh air. You know, like the biggest, and the minute you can get out and just walk around, like that adds energy to New York City in general.
Totally. And, you know, it's, I feel it in the air. Things are getting better here. And, you know, soon I won't be jealous of the tan that you have constantly on our video chats, because I will have my own one day. And I'm looking forward to that day.
You'll get there soon. Just a couple announcements from my end. I want to thank everyone who watched the stand-up special again. If you haven't yet, go, go, go. It's on YouTube. It's free. Make a night of it. It's 35 minutes. It's all about the social anxieties of 2020, and it's called Socially Distanced, of course. But all the feedback has been, like, really, like, I'm almost embarrassed for you. Like, it's so nice. So thank you, thank you to everyone who's watched. Thank you.
It's so funny. And Mike was with his friends, and a bunch of them had watched it and were telling him how funny it was. So,
That's like the best compliment. It's that's the best compliment in the world. So I'm like super, super, like, just amazing. I hate this word because it sounds so douchey, but I'm humbled. I really do feel amazing from all the feedback. But also, I'm doing shows: Omaha, Nebraska, Fort Lauderdale. Atlanta's coming up, so I got shows. If you want to come see some live shows, jaredfree.com. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
We're talking about, to best describe this, it's sort of like, because we talk a lot about it in the show, about owning your standards, and if you want something, just kind of like asking for it, right? But I think if you're someone who kind of has a lot of relationship anxiety, like me or other people who write in, a lot of the time you want to ask for stuff and you're like, do I really have the right to ask for this yet? Or like, you know what I mean? Almost that line between like, this is my need and I want to ask for my need, versus like, is it actually a little early to be like asking to, for example, like define the relationship or to take it to the next level? Sure. Like, where is the line between like, I'm saying what I want and what I need, and like, maybe my needs aren't necessarily that rational.
Yeah, it also comes back to like the problem with this podcast being now in its, what are we, in our fourth year almost?
We're 3 and something months old.
three and change is that like we have people that have been listening for a while, and they're like, you know, I understand people are looking for rules because rules make you feel more comfortable. As much as we hate rules, they're actually what makes you feel better, because you're like, I'm following the rules. There's a line of delineation between following the rules and breaking the rules. So when people write in and they're like, you know, and it's like, I am doing good because I am following rule. I am doing bad because I am breaking rule, but only a little bad because it's only a little bit over the rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, rules make you feel safe in a lot of ways.
And that happens for relationships. So we have people that have like, you know, we've said that we've come to this like owning your standard kind of quote, and people are like, okay, there's the rule. How do I do it? And the whole point of owning your standard is that it's your standard, you know? So like, I can't tell you, you know, when you say like, I want to define the relationship, like to me, my response is, that you're feeling it now, and that's you know, you can't stop yourself from feeling things, right?
Right. But what if you want to define the relationship after, say, like 2 weeks, 3 dates in 2 weeks, right?
Well,
is that something you
like,
should do?
I would say that person probably has to like kind of unpack why they need that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's sort of like the tricky part to ask yourself. Is it like, do I want this because I actually feel like I'm ready? Like this relationship has progressed to the point where like, I feel that this is natural and like feels right. Or am I like doing this out of an anxiety for like a reason to lock this down? Which I think as an anxious dater, that was something that I kind of had to go back and forth in my mind about, especially when it came to things like defining the relationship. But your needs might be to like text someone all day and night, but that also might not be like, you know what I mean? If you're doing that after one date, like there's a fine line between like, this is my need and I'm going to be myself, or I'm going to say exactly what I'm thinking, versus like, what is actually like a normal standard thing? And like, am I doing this?
Well, I think like there's like a, I think that's why you like have family and friends, and like you have to also be aware that it could be you, it could be your insecurities, anxieties. You have to be aware, like that's kind of the toughest part about dating. Is it my securities, anxieties, or am I not being fulfilled? Like, and it's like, we're all kind of like trying to do that, like, you know, that mix. And that's why on this podcast, like, I have so much empathy for the people in the position of like the other side of this. Like when someone's like, well, you know, I need to know, I want to be in a relationship. And then they're going, both people are trying to figure that out for themselves.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been seeing a therapist for many years now, and one of the things that I've learned from therapy is that I'm pretty introverted, and a lot of the time socializing with people can drain me. So I've really learned how to have that right balance of going out, socializing, meeting people, but also making sure I have enough alone time to actually feel like I'm coming back to myself, because that's kind of where I thrive. And therapy has really helped me realize that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
You want to do the email?
Let's read the email and then we can get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So they write in, "Hi, J&J. First off, I've loved the podcast so much. It really got me through a breakup earlier this year. Your advice has always been so perspective shifting, which I've loved." You're welcome. "Now on to a question. I recently started hooking up with a guy I met on Bumble. I think he's a cool guy, enjoy our casual hangouts, find him attractive, and the sex is really good. I want to see if it could be anything more than a casual hookup. See if we could be compatible on another level, because I do like time I've spent with him, but right now it's not progressing to anything more. He also had mentioned that he finds dating culture to be a pet peeve when we first started talking."
What a douchey thing to say.
Right.
Like, I don't even know how you even say that without sounding like an asshole.
What does that even mean? What is dating culture? The culture of people going on dates?
That is one of the... Yeah, exactly. Like, that is one of those things that people say. It's, to me, that is a word version of taking a stick that's lit on fire and waving it at someone to keep them at bay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, how do you say dating? Like, I can't even say that without putting on an accent. Dating culture seems to be such a pet peeve of mine. Like, I can't say it without doing
it. I feel like that is such an annoying line, because it's basically saying, like, if you're into dating culture, like if you're into that sort of thing, like, you know, you haven't been like seeing the light yet. This whole doing whatever I want has been way better than dating culture.
I'm into the whatever the fuck I want culture. Yeah. I mean, this guy would hate this podcast.
Yeah. It's like those people who are like, oh, like that corporate life is not for me. It's like,
exactly.
Like, you like don't own a suit or something. Like, I don't know.
Or you have rich parents and they just allow you to like travel the world. So it's like, yeah, corporate life isn't for me. But my parents, the royals, tell me that it's, you know what I mean? Like how?
Right. Exactly.
It is one of those things where people do this a lot these days where they kind of like say something that sounds high end, but it isn't, you know?
Right. And that's almost the most annoying.
Totally. It's a lot.
Person. Right. Yeah. So she says, my question is it ever worth it to wait, continue the casual for longer than you may like to see if the guy may catch up to your wavelength? Thanks again for all your great advice and the laughs. Sincerely, waiting is not a fun game.
So this is a fair question. It's a good question. It has a lot of awareness, which I love. Right, Jordana?
Right. Yes. We love a nice self-aware question.
We love it. And I think I'm going to start with her question because I have to. Let's start with her question. My question is it ever worth it to wait, continue the casual for longer than you may like? So I would say, no, it's never worth it. And what do you think, Jordana? Well,
I wouldn't say never, especially if we're saying like casual is a word that can mean many things to many different people. But sure. If she's saying like an undefined relationship that doesn't have like labels or anything on it, I would say it can depend on like you and your propensity and a little bit of like, again, I think sometimes your anxieties can make you feel like you need to lock things in faster than you do. In this particular situation, that might not be the case. But like after like 3 dates with someone, if you're like, I need to lock this down because I'm really anxious about like what this person is doing, I can see where you might say like, worth it to wait, continue the casual for you more than you might like. I might say like, if you feel like you're someone prone to getting anxious and wanting to take the next step before you really know the person, that could be something that's sort of on you and not necessarily something you should act on.
So I let me come back at you a little bit because I'm not usually someone to say never to any question. And the reason for this question that I've become that I'm a little bit more like never, because again, you're right. Casual can mean two different things to different people. But it's interesting that she's like, is it ever worth it to wait, continue the casual for longer than you may like? To me, it's like, it's almost like people look at relationships like they look at grades. Like you go from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade to fifth, you know? And to me, like she can have, like when she says casual for longer than you may like, then what would you like? I think like that's like the thing that like you have to look at. Like it, what you're saying is like you may like a like this has to mean it's a relationship. It, to me, it can mean like 7 different things in between casual and relationship. No.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not totally clear, I guess, what that means to her or what like when she's saying continue the casual for longer than you may like, does that mean what is something in between that could mean to you? In so between like you're my boyfriend.
Well, I guess to me it's like you never have this question if you feel like someone is trying. You know, like this question never comes into account when someone like, hey, next week let's do a date or let's plan to do something, you know, like fun with my friends are coming up. If you feel like things are progressive, like I think when you continue the casual for more longer than you like, it can only lead to you feeling, you know, hatred and anger toward this person because you feel that they're messing with your emotions. Because I just don't ever see this leading to a place of like, hey, you know, that you feel great about the relationship. Like to me, an in between would be something along the lines of like, hey, like 2 weeks from now, I have this thing. I'd love for you to come with me. Do you know what I mean? Where that's
right.
Where, okay, now he's trying. I feel good that I'm getting invited to something like that. And then you feel comfortable enough to go, hey, 3 weeks from now, I have this thing coming up. I would love for you to be a part of that with me. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, if that's what she's talking about, then yeah, she shouldn't hesitate to ask for those things that she wants. But what if she wants something that's like three steps ahead of what the guy might want, or like, you know what I mean? Rushing again to like lock down a situation or lock in a situation that she feels just like unsure about, or she's some, because I think that's a lot of people where they're like, I want like a label earlier than, or in their head they want it earlier than is like actually seems like rational for a lot of people. And I mean, when I used to have those thoughts,
sure,
you know, and I remember speaking with a therapist to sort of like hash through them, and it would be like about when I was having those thoughts of like, I need to lock this in, or like, I need to know right now where this is headed in order to feel comfortable going forward. I would kind of have to like, he would be like, think about like your reaction to this thing. Think if it's coming from like a rational place that's like actually based on like what's happening in the relationship, or is it based on something like historical that gives you anxiety that isn't really like attached to this and you don't necessarily need to like act on? Because I do think it's okay to have like a little bit of anxiety, or one person to want to move a little bit faster than the other, or absolutely, for one person to sort of irrationally want to move to lock it in a little quicker than someone else. So I do think it's worth it to wait if you've examined that and you're like, well, this is a me thing. This isn't about the relationship. This is just about me being like nervous and anxious and wanting to like close this out rather than mm-hmm. really see where this goes. But I agree with what you're saying in terms of like, maybe that doesn't look like, oh, I need to, maybe if you're thinking like, I need this person to ask to make me his girlfriend, that can be like, I would like this person to, you know, meet my friends, or I'd like to increase the, you know, the amount of dates we're going on, or have them text me more often. Like that, of course, you shouldn't be like waiting. You don't have to wait in that scenario longer than you're comfortable.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think it's easier maybe to look at this like kind of backwards, if that makes sense. Like, it's easier to look at it and go, okay, what are the casual things you don't want to do anymore? Right? Okay. Like okay,
yeah, maybe it's going, like just coming over to hook up.
Yeah, like if, let's say, you know, I like this person. You can stay positive while also saying no. Jordana, how many times, I mean, I always say to people why I loved working with Betches was from the get-go, if I said something to you or I texted you, hey, here's a tweet that felt very Betches, you would go, not really for us. But it wasn't because you didn't like me or want to work with me in the future. Do you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So I think, and I always appreciated that as a person, as a comic, as a person, as someone who's like interacted with a lot of people, where I was sending that to a lot of people. Sometimes, you know, they wouldn't get back to you, or they'd be like, or it just felt very personal with you. It always felt, and with your whole company, it always felt like I was pitching to a positive place that I could come back to. Do you know what I mean?
That's good to know.
No, it really didn't. I say that in interviews about like when people ask me about like working with you guys, I'm like, it's been a really great relationship, because it's hard as a comic to put yourself out there and go, hey, I want you to like, I love this enough to show it to you, and I hope you could love it enough to show it to your audience. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
So to relate that to dating, it's like, to me, like, hey, this guy's going to be pitching you ideas and you're going to be pitching him ideas. Okay. Do you feel, you know, like,
right.
like it's okay to say no to his pitches with a chance to come back for more pitches. So like, if you're just like not in the business of going over to his house without a dinner date or drinks or feeling like there's effort, it's okay to say, hey, that sounds like a lot of fun, but it's really not where I'm at with this right now. But I would love to do dinner sometime, but I would love to, let me know the next time you want to get drinks. Let me know the next time you want to like hang out. Or I'm actually doing this outdoor thing. Do you want to come? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to not continue the casual without making a statement about how you'd like to get married. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know like, I mean? Like, totally. And it's like, how to, like, when we ask these in between things are very tough because they're very not concrete. So, how do we make them concrete to help us feel, you know, deal with our own anxieties. Because that's, again, we're all doing trial and error with dating, which is the suckiest part. We're all trying to figure out our emotions. So it's like, I know people are looking for concrete answers. Maybe this, and if someone, if it's been a month of you, you know, pitching him ideas and him pitching you ideas that you hate, you're obviously not on the same level.
Right. You're not looking for the same things. And that's an easy way to tell that rather than, yeah. And I think, I mean, when I think of casual to non-casual, I think like, maybe that's just me again, thinking like first grade, second grade, but I agree like what you're saying. It's easier to think about that in smaller steps in terms of what they mean towards like getting there.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I think like we kind of connect how we feel to like a certain number or a certain label. And it's like, yeah, that might help you for a month, but it's not going to help you for really what you want, which is like a fun and lasting relationship, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Because it's the kind of thing where it's like you think this is like a quick fix thing that's actually going to make you happy. But like without the other stuff, without the littler, without the smaller steps of like it, it's not going to be natural. And it, even if you got it, it wouldn't, still wouldn't feel good.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? If this guy said you were his girlfriend, but continued to only ask you out on Friday nights at 11, like you wouldn't really be you'd be getting what you want in name, but it wouldn't really be any different.
Absolutely. And it's like, you know, what ends up happening is like you continue. Basically, it's like, again, what do they say? Insanity is continuing the same things, expecting different results. That's the same thing as, you know, casual. Like insanity is, you know, going over to hook up and expecting this guy's just going to all of a sudden want something different because maybe this is only the only thing he wanted all along.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. You ready? Hi, J&J. Obsessed with the podcast. Also, at Jared. I told my parents to go to your show in Naples, and they loved it. Thank you. Thanks for all the great content. Here's my awkward sex story. So I had been seeing this guy I met on a dating app. We had been on 3 dates and had already hooked up once. On the third date, he brought up the fact that just a couple months ago, he had gotten out of a 4-year-long relationship. That's a lot. Don't you think that's late to bring that up, Jordana?
The third date? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think you got like second date, probably latest. Although I could sort of see, I think like it's late to bring it up because it shows kind of shows that you're not over it and you don't want to just mention it. Like yeah. The earlier you brought it up, the more I would feel like you processed it. And I think it's okay to date after 2 months of being in a 4-year relationship, but like the hidden part of it almost makes it seem like worse.
I'm with you so much. Like it's like to me, like a first date question is, so when was your last relationship? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as a first date question.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be, that's a fine question to ask. It's like totally, right? It's perfectly acceptable. It'll tell you a lot about someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I had gone through a similar breakup a few years back and understand how long it can take to get over someone. So I thought it was a major red flag that he was already out dating again.
I don't think is a major red flag.
I'm with you. I think it's more of a red flag that he hit it.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. On our fourth date, I told him my concerns and let him know I didn't want to jump into anything too quickly and suggested he take some time for himself before trying to date seriously again. I like that she's like becomes his therapist.
Right.
I'll prescribe you a no date. Let me prescribe you a couple of no dating forever.
Right.
And come back to me in a month when you figured out yourself. Okay.
Well, I think she said that so that he would be like, no. Like, I'm over it. Like, almost like, do you know what I mean? Like, she said that to seem, I get why she said it, but I don't think she meant it.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. We still ended up having dinner together and then went to his room to hook up. I know, bad idea. Well, okay, you just told this guy, no more dating. Okay, I'll come up and blow you. Like, what?
That's what I'm saying. She didn't really mean it. That was her test to see if he would be like, I'm still down. No.
A test with no consequences. Okay. The hookup started off great, but the momentum kind of fizzled out before we got to sex. He then started trying to cuddle with me and talking about how much he loves cuddling. that always gets a woman going. By this I just love rubbing up against you with my boner. Okay. By this point, I had already decided I didn't want to keep seeing him, and I felt increasingly uncomfortable laying naked next to him. I didn't want to be disingenuous by pretending I was enjoying the cuddling, so I again brought up my concerns about jumping into anything serious and told him I thought I should go home. It was dark in the room, and I got up to start getting dressed. He hadn't said anything for a while, which I thought was odd. So I looked over and slowly realized he was crying. Actual tears, she writes in all caps.
What else would it be?
The fake ones. I was so shocked. I know this does feel a little, if this was the genders reversed, I don't think we would be as like laughy about this. I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do. I awkwardly went over to him and put my arm around him and asked what was wrong.
She went from therapist to like, you know, like best friend.
Yeah, best friend or like little league coach. Hey there, slugger. What's going on? Feeling a little down?
Oh my God.
So I asked him what was wrong. Between sobs, he blurted out that he regretted dating his ex for so long, that he was unhappy with his job and continued to list off other things in his life that upset him. I ended up, quote unquote, cuddling with him again until he stopped crying. I hope they weren't naked at this point. Wouldn't it be weirder?
She got dressed. He might be naked. She got dressed.
So he's just like curled up in a naked ball like a fetus crying?
Hysterically crying. Aw.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's funny and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
With him again until he stopped crying. When he finally calmed down, calmed down makes it sound so much worse.
That makes him sound like making like cry. Okay.
I don't know what I'm gonna, you know, like those convulsing cries.
Right. I think like a silent, teary cry is like, oh, there's people who make crying less attractive. There's actually people who I think cry and it's kind of endearing. And then there's others who cry and you're like, what are these noises? I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah, the like toddler, this is also a temper tantrum cry, is really, that is one that I slowly back away from.
Out of the room.
Yeah, well, good luck with that stuff. See ya. Yeah.
Yeah, when she says calm down, I'm picturing a very like frantic, loud, high-pitched cry.
Yeah, it's making me feel embarrassed for any time I've cried. Okay, so he started
trying to make real men cry.
I cry, but
in
it's
moderation.
Like one, yeah, I'd cry, but it's one tear that goes down my cheek, and it's while I'm doing bicep curls. That's the only time I cried.
Wow.
when he calmed down, he started trying to make completely normal conversation about his favorite movie as if nothing had happened. That's very male.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's one of those things. It's like, no, I'm cool. Hey, let's do you like sports. The Office? yeah, exactly. At that point, I was so ready to get out of there and annoyed at him for keeping me there after I told him I wanted to go home. When I like that it's now his fault. It's like, okay, right. Are you helping him or not?
Right.
Yeah. When I finally left and had a moment to register what had happened, I started laughing out loud. Poor guy. PSA, this is why you shouldn't start dating again straight out of a 4-year-long relationship. What would you call this? I mean, I don't really agree with her, like, Monday morning quarterback of his therapy sessions. But what do you think, Jordana?
I think, first of all, I have cried because I wasn't over an ex while sleeping with someone else. So I've been him.
Really?
So I think she's a little bit of an asshole. Although I don't think, mine's very much like the, I was very much trying to hide it. But I remember this.
Did he
in
say
college.
Anything?
I don't think he noticed. It was dark. And like, I was like very like kind of like, I think I was like, I was very upset about an ex that was like, you know, I was going through something with and then slept with this guy sort of in a way to make myself feel better, which did not work. And right. It was kind of one of those moments where I'm like, I can't believe I'm here doing, I don't like really want to be here. Do you know what I mean? Like thinking about this other person, probably kind of drunk. And yeah, I mean, again, I think a lot of it leads to like the loudness of the cry, but I have been in this situation.
Well, this is back to like what we were talking about. Like, this is why it's so goddamn hard. Like, you're working through your shit. That person was just there because they, you know, they were attracted to you. They liked you. They wanted to come back with you. And then you're like next to someone crying about someone else. You're like, how did I fucking get here? Like, I would want to start crying if I was next to someone like that.
Yeah. How did either of us get here? Right. It's just so it's like the opposite of like where any of us want to be in that moment. And I feel
absolutely.
Bad for this guy. Like the obviously he shouldn't be going on like these dates with someone if you're in that state, but also like you know, if I agree, if the genders were reversed, we would, and he reacted like this, we'd think he was an asshole.
Totally. And also it's like I listen, I have empathy for this guy because I don't think there's no playbook for moving on from a 4-year relationship. Like, she seems so, what would you know, this is why you don't start dating straight out of a 4-year relationship. Yeah, that's why you shouldn't. Maybe he learned his lesson from this experience. Like, you have to have experiences to learn, you know?
Right. Maybe. What would you do in this scenario if you're, like, with a girl?
Him or her?
Her. If you're, well, I guess you're her in this, you're her in this scenario. How would you handle it?
I would probably do what she did. We're try to comfort the person, try to say, hey, like, and also, like, it's one of those things that kind of like, you know, we are not going to be dating after this. Now I'm here to comfort you. You know, like it's like the ending to
would you say
our
that?
Love story.
We arm around her. Just, you know, this isn't. I'm not taking you on any more dates.
Yeah. Hey,
I'll
hey,
Venmo
kid.
You.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously we're not working out, but I just want to like. Talk to you about, you know, let's figure out, you know, some therapists we can talk to. Maybe, you know, it's right. Just also very, it's very male, the idea of like, we don't really tell our feelings to people. We don't like like he probably has told zero friends or family how he feels about his breakup.
I know. That's the sad part. I think that like, it's very hard for men to I think it's probably much harder for men to process situations where they're being broken up with than women, because I think that we have a lot more outlets to go and talk shit and create a rallying group of like friends who hate this person. And like for guys, I do think there's a sense of you kind of just like, there's less opportunities to like get out those emotions and really be sad.
Yeah, and that's not to say, like, it's not. It's hard for everybody. I think we're just finding, like, in this story, we're finding, you know, a little bit of, like, empathy for this guy. Like, and also, there's not a lot of, like, you know, I think he probably felt a lot of guilt. Like, him saying he stayed in something that wasn't supposed to happen for so long. Like, look what I've put other people through via my need to, like, move on, or this person's, you know, in a relationship that didn't work out. Like, I feel like he's probably feeling a lot of that guilt.
from having dated her for too long or for so
well,
long?
She says in the email, she was like, he regretted dating his ex for so long. And that came after she was like telling him like, hey, we're not going to work out. You need to figure out your shit. Yeah.
And also his job. I mean, the part with like, it's definitely
it's
not, definitely not best foot forward. It reminds me of forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he's like,
totally.
I think he's also crying during the
thing. What would you call this?
I'd call this the town crier. What would you call it?
Oh, I like that one. I was going to say, I had Cry Me a River, but it really didn't work.
That actually does work. It's very just, because that song's about a breakup, right?
Totally. And Cry Me a River, the cuddle cry, I think.
Crying coitus.
Red flag or deal breaker? You're with someone who does this.
Yeah, I would say, like you said, we're probably not going out again, but like if I saw you on the street, definitely wave. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, it's deal breaker at like naked sitting on the corner of the bed.
Here's my question for you. What if, okay, so that clearly like that person's not ready to move on. What if this person, you run into this person like 6 months later and they're like trying to go out again?
It would have to be years. I need okay. them to go. Yeah. Like I need them to have another relationship to like, I do think.
To cry about.
Yeah. I think like relationships teach you. Like I think being in hard times with people teach you more about yourself than being than
happy
none.
Times. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like I would need the person to be like, it would have to be like a relationship down the line. How about you?
The next cycle. I think that would be more desirable. I think 6 months I might give it a go if those first few dates were like really fun and it was like 6 months later and I got the feeling like they were like a happier person.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd probably do the 6 month thing, but probably better, like you said, to wait like over a year to not have that half processed situation.
I would want to see them have them be like, yeah, oh my God, it's so embarrassing seeing you. I'm here with my boyfriend. Oh, good for you. You found a guy. Good for you. And then like another 6 months later, they're like, we broke up. That wasn't the right thing. I would have to like see them like at the grocery store. It couldn't happen like from a dating app because I feel like that's like kind of just like falling back into someone that you're like, oh, you would do this, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think you'd have to see them organically like in person rather than I wouldn't swipe on them.
We never talk about that, but like the idea of like people always swipe back on exes and stuff like that. Like that rarely works. Like the coming back into your life, when it happens organically, that's the one I like kind of trust more.
Right. I agree. Cause I don't know even why that is. The fact that like, I think it's almost like that one with the ex, I feel like it can't even be organic. It has to be like proactive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's almost more annoying if an ex comes back and it's like, oh, I saw you. So great seeing you at the grocery store. Like, what are you up to? Sure. As opposed to like, I've been thinking a lot about you and like, blah, blah, blah. Like someone texted me like, I've been hoping that I would run into you like around the city, but I haven't. So I figured it was like, I should just reach out. And I feel like I thought that was better than if he had just run into me because it would make me feel more like it was an active thought rather than like I triggered it and then, impulse thought. Yeah.
Well, that's why, people responding to your Instagram stories is such a like a kind of a lost cause. Like that's just like seeing the leftovers in the fridge and then convincing yourself that you'll eat
right.
them.
Yeah, that's the most annoying kind of reach out. I agree.
Yeah, I never wanted Chinese food, but I guess I'll have some Chinese food,
Right. And now it's now it's 6 months more of you getting over me. Have fun. But that was filling. Thanks.
Yeah, good work. Let's do another email. You ready?
All right, I'll read it. Hey, J&J, love the show. Been listening since day one and always love hearing your takes. My boyfriend and I have been together for a year and a half, live together, and talk about getting engaged / our future wedding plans regularly. I feel confident he will propose this year, probably the summer. The timeline sounds great to me, and I'm not itching to move things quicker. All good. Okay. That being said, Mike's like, good for you, bitch. That being said,
everything's perfect.
Yeah. Basically, that being said, my extended family is planning a beach vacation / family reunion in July. My boyfriend asked if he's invited, and I said yes, which is true. But the truth is, I would rather not introduce him to the whole clan until we're engaged. I had a prior serious relationship where we also lived together, and I finally introduced him to everyone at a family wedding, and we broke up about 2 months later, which added an extra level of pain / embarrassment to the breakup for me. I have a huge, nosy family, and I know they'll love my current boyfriend. Like I said, I'm confident he's the one, but I'm realistic enough to know it's not forever until the ink on the marriage license is dry.
Oh, God.
And that doesn't mean forever necessarily. My question is, how can I say I'm not comfortable bringing you to meet my entire extended family unless we're engaged by that point without sounding crazy, mean, or seeming like I'm trying to put pressure on him timeline wise? Should I just try to get over myself and admit this is a me problem since I know my family just wants to see me happy and I'm sure. And they sure don't give a shit if I bring a new guy to every family event forever as long as he's nice. Jared, your family sounds a little like mine. Any advice would be much appreciated. Sincerely, no ring, no bring.
No ring, no bring is a hilarious sign-off.
That's a lot of people have that as their plus one. Like, what if they give you a plus one? That's their rule.
Oh, really?
Like, if you're not engaged, you can't bring a plus one. I think it's stupid.
I think that's stupid. I think if your boyfriend, girlfriend, if you're in a relationship, you know, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, if you're in a relationship, you can bring. That's my rule.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I would say no. Yeah. No label, no table. That would be
there. That's good. Wow. We got to get you on Brides. Right? Yeah.
There we go. Put it on a shirt. We're good to go.
Do you feel this way? She thinks you guys have similar families. Do you think that?
Well, here's the thing. I think you said it right. Let me go back to some. If people want to rewind, when you said, and when she writes, I'm realistic to know it's not forever until the ink on the marriage license is dry. Well, that's not even true.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I don't think you can avoid hurt. I don't think you can avoid embarrassment. She even wrote, like, no one in your family gives a fuck about you and this guy breaking up if you break up. People only give a fuck to talk about it so they don't have to talk about their own horrible lives. That's the only reason your relationship is ever talked about by other family members. So, you know, to me, when she writes, there's something very specific she wrote. I'm not comfortable bringing you to meet my entire extended family unless we're engaged by that point without sounding crazy, mean, or seeming like I'm trying to put pressure on him timeline-wise. That will never sound crazy, never sound mean. It will always sound like you're trying to put pressure on the timeline.
Right. Because it doesn't seem... This seems like an artificial issue almost to me, anyway.
It's so artificial.
Like, if I was dating a guy and he said that to me, I'd be like, fuck you. That's crazy. Like, why would, you know what I mean? Especially if we were talking about, if we'd already been talking about engagement. Didn't she say that?
Yeah. And she's believes in this.
Talked about getting engaged or our wedding plans regularly.
Listen, a lot of people have talked about getting engaged and not getting engaged. That's just the fact of life. She's saying it to us, so I'm sure she's saying to the family. So you're getting embarrassment if this thing doesn't work out anyways. Like, the idea that you're not, that there's any way to avoid hurt is just a fallacy. You're not going to avoid it. So you might as well do what makes you feel good until that stuff comes up, you know?
Right. What made you feel ready to, like, introduce Jess to your family?
When I loved her and I thought she would... You know, have fun. Like, I have genuine fun with my family, and I wanted her to be a part of that fun. But I would say, like, the idea that, like, you know, you're going to have to walk back a relationship if it ends. You're never going to get ahead of that. Like, you know, this is like, how do I, you know, how do I get all the water out of the ocean? Like, I don't know. Like, I brought up an ocean one because I'm in Aruba. I don't know, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, like, this seems like maybe it's because, like, I can't imagine, like, why do you care about explaining it to your extended family more than you would care about explaining the fact that you broke up to, like, your intimate friend or, like, someone that you know what I mean? That person is already met. Well, like, what would be the difference? Like, oh, I have to, like, now go to, like, those, again, like you said, like, those people don't give a shit. And it's not like they're so invested in the person that they're going to be like, oh, I miss, like, the ex so much. Like, where is he?
And if they, And if they do that, they're a fucking crazy person.
Right.
If your aunt is like, whatever happened? No, she's out of her fucking mind.
Right.
Like, I think this is like a very female thing, too, where there's this like embarrassment of a relationship ending. Like, I don't like if my relationships, if they've ever end, my family's gone. We just want you to be happy. There's no thought of like, oh, you're going to be a cat man. Like, I've never gotten that feeling from anyone.
Well, have you ever introduced your parents to someone that broke up with you? Were you oversold them, perhaps? I think that's, like, that's a reason that you might be, like, if you I could see that in some ways of, like, if, you know, even I think I was, like, God, that's why I wouldn't tell someone, my parents, if I was, like, dating someone, if it wasn't, like, official or anything, because it's kind of, like...
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, a little bit of a different level of this. But I remember not feeling like, oh, I don't want to, like, I'm not really, like, interested in, like, telling my family about this person that I'm seeing. Because I had done that before. And then they, like, one of those three-monthers that, like, didn't want to date me. And then they ask about that person. And I have to be like, that's, like, kind of, that's more embarrassing than, like, we broke up.
But why is that embarrassing? Like, all you have to say to them, hey, it just didn't work out. They weren't the right person for me. Like, I don't understand. I understand why it's embarrassing.
Because that's not really true. Like, it's not really, it didn't work out. Because the truth is that, like, they were not interested in dating you. Especially if you've been, like, talking up this person to your family. And then...
To me, that's a perspective thing. Like, to me, like, when I hear, like, that's not how it happened. Like, no, but that is how it happened. Like, I don't want to be with that person as well. Maybe they got the thing going and started the wheels turning of, like, this breakup. But, like, that obviously means that we weren't meant to be a match.
Right. Well, that's a very enlightened way at looking at most raw situations. I think that in the moment, you're kind of like, oh, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was really excited about this person. It's not working. It's not going to work out. Not through my choice, necessarily.
Yeah.
And now, you know, like, I've got, and again, I think dating is one of those things, especially if you're a little insecure about it or you're a little anxious about it, where you're like, now I got to, like, imagine, like, now I got to go home and tell my parents I lost my job. That I just, you know, I got this job 3 months ago and I was so excited about it. I was telling everyone how, like, amazing I was going to be at it. And now I'm fired. And I could say that, like, me and the job parted amicably and we both decided that we weren't right. But, like, really, I got fired.
Yeah, I know the truth. That is, I agree with you. I understand. Yeah. Like, listen, I'm never going to tell someone how to feel. I understand that that's a feeling that could happen from it. I would also say I understand the idea of an extended family being worried about that. The one thing I do connect with her email is, like, the idea of, like, oh, your cousin so-and-so's doing great. You know, like, when you go to, like, an extended family thing, you're kind of pitted against, you know, the idea of, like, who's doing what as the cousins, you know what I mean? I don't feel that way with my family, but I do know that, like, that's kind of the conversation that happens with bigger families. I'm sure you feel that with, like, all your siblings a little bit. You hear stories about people, or maybe they feel that way with you.
I'm sure they feel that way more about me. No, I mean, I get that also, like, but...
Like, no, like, I'm sure with work stuff, like, you must have a sibling that they're like, you know, like, your siblings must get asked about you and Betches all the time. And I would understand that, like, if their work stuff wasn't working out, they would go, oh, and I got to, like, talk about it in context with Jordana. This person's kind of thinking of it with, like,
right,
if we break up, I got to talk about it in context with cousin, you know, Ronnie,
who's married, engaged.
Yeah. The whole thing. But
is
that's
like
not,
that's a
her problem. I don't think that's this guy's problem.
I agree. It's a her problem. I would be insulted if someone didn't bring me to my extended family for that. Yeah, purpose. Not like you said, like, we've all got to be able to, like, it isn't even like discomfort because it hasn't even happened yet, but we've all got to be able to, like, deal with potential discomfort in the future to make the person that we're with feel comfortable and happy.
As my dad has always said to me, you got to play in traffic if you want to get hit. And there's hazards with everything. That's the only way to find happiness is to know that, like, unhappiness is, it's a tight wire that you could fall off at any time.
Right. It makes the happiness that much better. The goal isn't to go through life just avoiding uncomfortable pain and situations as best as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, easy advice to give. Hard advice to take.
Yes. Well, we will be right back with some red flag or deal breakers with our very special guest, Victoria Justice.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And we are back with a very special guest. I'm really excited to have her. Please welcome Victoria Justice, who is here to talk about her new movie, Trust. I saw the trailer. I'm so excited to watch it. It looks amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more about it, about what you guys have going on?
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited for it to come out, be able to see it on March 12th. But yeah, it's called Trust. It's like a sexy relationship drama. There are lots of twists and turns. It's about a couple played by me and Matt Daddario. We're a married couple, and things are starting to fall apart a little bit. And this movie sort of explores the theme of cheating and what is considered cheating. And I'm excited to hear people's conversations of who they think is right and wrong in the scenario. And it's just has lots of twists and turns, so I'm excited for people to check it out.
The trailer looked like that. It kind of goes. It looked like that. You know, there's that gray area of emotional cheating. Is that kind of what we get into, or is that that's what it kind of looks like? Is the kind of the premise where someone could think they're doing the right thing, and then it gets away from them? It kind of looked like.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes into play, and like you said, I think there's definitely going to be a lot of conversations after people see this film about like the levels of cheating, because, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of cheating. Like you were saying, emotional cheating, it's not just a physical thing. So I'm curious to hear people's thoughts.
Listen,
would you rather be emotionally cheated on or physically cheated on?
Emotionally or physically cheated on? I don't know.
Physically?
Kind of agree.
Yeah, like I think there's that thing of like, you know, a lot of guys take, you know, getting cheated on as like, oh, you really like fell in love with someone. Like a lot of guys get like kind of like let off the hook where it's like, oh, he cheated, it was a physical thing, where it's like, those are kind of very different things.
Right.
You're saying they get let off the hook if it's emotional?
I think a lot of guys get let off the hook when it's like physical, because they're like, oh, it's just a guy, you know, it was a physical thing, it was right. Nothing. Where a woman doesn't get kind of let off the hook with that. If a woman cheats, it's like this much more serious, like, we've fallen in love and we're running away type of thing.
Right. I think the emotional cheating feels a lot more personal than the physical cheating. Like, the physical cheating almost feels like an urge that you couldn't control, whereas emotional is like what's missing or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it was like a one night thing and it happened, like, that sucks. But if you're like putting in time and like really investing emotional energy into someone and like building and you're falling in love with someone, I mean, that's pretty, that kind of hurts more, I think.
Brutal. I mean, how, this is like a sexy movie, like the trailers, like you watch it, you're like, wow, this is like, how do you deal with that in like having your own relationships, like on the subject of trust? Like, how do you do a movie like this where it's like, so it's all about that type of interpersonal stuff. And then you got to go home to someone and be like, hey, you know, nice to see you. You know, like,
I go home to myself. I was not in a relationship when filming this movie. I mean, obviously I've been in relationships when I've had to have like sexy scenes and whatnot. And you know, it's a job, it's a professional thing. And so you would hope that you're with someone that would understand that. And I think it's always cute when someone, the other person gets like a little bit jealous. I think that's kind of cute.
I agree.
But you know, I obviously don't want someone who's gonna be like, I need to be on set and this is ridiculous and blah, 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 you can only kiss this amount of times and you better not do this or whatever. That would be like insane.
Yeah.
Because it is work, you know, it's a professional job.
Absolutely.
Totally. But you do want that. It's like, you do want a little bit of jealousy just to show that they care. You know,
yeah,
you want like,
of course, right. A little jealousy is adorable.
Totally.
So we talk a lot about like kind of the intersection of like technology and dating and kind of how men and women look at it. And we play a game here called Red Flag Deal Breaker, where basically you're dating someone, everything's going great, and then this one thing happens, and it's like, is it a red flag? I see it, but I'll let it go. Or is it a deal breaker? The relationship is over.
Okay, I love it. Let's play.
So are you ready? We got some set up for you. You ready?
They're all trust related in honor of the movie coming out March 12th, okay, you said?
March 12th.
Yes. March 12th, so it, on demand in select theaters.
It feels like the perfect date night relationship movie that'll maybe break you up afterwards. Like, it feels like it's like,
yeah. You say, whose side are you on? And then you let it spiral from there.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll be very telling to see. It's actually a good date night movie, because I'd be curious to see what the other person's opinion would be. It would be like a good, like, look into their psyche and how they feel about these sort of situations, which is good to know.
Totally. And when people listen to our podcast, I think that's what they like about it. If they listen with like someone that they're dating, it's like, we bring up those conversations that are kind of uncomfortable. And if someone, you can kind of like gauge how the other person reacts to it to see if you're a good enough match for them too.
I love that.
Okay. So should we start?
Yeah. Let's
do it. Three of them.
Red flag or deal breaker?
Red flag, yes. Or deal breaker. They're all in honor of Trust, the movie coming out March 12th on demand. And they're trust related. Okay, you want to read the first one, Jordana?
Okay. After 3 months of dating, they casually ask if they can look at your Instagram DMs.
Ooh. I don't like that. That's probably a deal breaker.
Deal breaker, you're out?
Yeah, that's like shows like that you don't trust me at all, really. It's kind of like, that's weird.
Well, it's funny that it's like, there's two arguments. It's, you don't trust me, or are you, you know,
what are you hiding?
What are you hiding? You know, that's what the discussion becomes.
Yeah. You think so? You think it's what are you hiding if they want to look in your DMs? Because you mean like, because people project like sometimes what they're doing onto you?
Well, I think it becomes like an argument of like, someone will say, what, you don't trust me? And then it's like, then if I don't have anything to worry about, then let me see. Like, that's what that discussion becomes. I mean, I wouldn't want to be with someone that would need to see my DMs. Like, it would feel.
What if they just asked, but they were like not offended that you said no? They just wanted to see if they
that would be a red flag. That would be a red flag. I can deal with that.
I feel like if they insisted, then I'd be out. But if they were like, what was that message there? Like, go back to your messages. Give me your phone.
That I would be okay with. That I would be okay with. Yeah.
You'd have to maneuver it super, like, that's what I'm saying, like, super casual sounding would, I think, be okay. But if they were like, and let me see every message that you sent because I don't believe that you are not speaking to that person, I think that would be a deal breaker.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
All right, let's do another one.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's a deal breaker for me. But again, like, oh, let me see is a different thing. Like, oh, who is that is a different thing than I need to see the last 10. You're like, that feels a little... Right. Ridiculous.
I think we see that a lot with like the phone password when it's like, oh, I need to get into your phone. Like, what's your password? Casual versus like, give me your phone password.
Right.
Let's do another. Their ex is their family friend and they go away together with their families every year.
Their ex is their family friend. So they're going on vacations with their ex and their families and everything.
Yeah.
Every year. And now you got to go on those vacations. Now you're a part of this whole thing.
I mean, I feel like if I knew that the person I was dating was totally over that person and they had been friends for a while and their families were all friends and the girl made me feel comfortable and there were no like weird vibes, I could be okay with that.
Yeah. What do you think, Jordana?
I agree with her. I think this one's a lot about context. Like, how long ago did they break up? Like, why did they break up? Was someone like devastated or was it like they hooked up a few times like 15 years ago and it fizzled? I think that would be like, okay. And my other thought was like, would you rather go in that situation or not go? I feel like you'd rather go just to like see what the dynamic is, right?
Yeah. I think probably rather go. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Jay? It's okay to know about an ex as long as you see the ex coming. I think that's okay. I think when you get into explaining exes after the fact, then it feels like you've hid the ex. Like, this is like family friend ex. We go on this vacation. I know it's weird. They have to own that they know this is an uncomfortable thing for you.
I've dealt with this. It's like, don't hide the ex.
Yeah.
If you have nothing to hide, then why wouldn't you just be forthright about this? You
know? Absolutely. Like, if there's nothing to hide, then go with it. Like, this is, yeah, it's a friend. Get over it. Grow up. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's always fun thing to say to your significant other, grow up, and then they just deal
they
with
love
it.
People love that. Yes. Okay, we'll do one more. So they exaggerate what their job is when you first meet, then you later find out it's a huge stretch. So for example, like they say they're a bank teller, but they say they work in finance.
Aww. I would feel kind of bad for them, maybe, to be honest. I don't know. I think that would probably be I don't know. It would depend on how they like, if they were then honest with me about it afterwards, and maybe they were like, to be honest with you, like I just was feeling really insecure and this sort of thing. If they had like that sort of approach, then maybe it would just be a red flag.
You if they owned it, right. If they like, were vulnerable with it.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
You answer these so nuanced. They're like, you know what I mean? She has like a good sense of both. So it's like almost, you know, less dramatic, but I love it. I would agree. Unless it was like, it depends on how long they kept it up for, I think. And if they weren't willing to let go, it's like admit that they lied.
Yeah, of course.
I gotta say, this is a deal breaker to me. You got it just because, you know, you broke into the safe. You know what I mean? Like, you still committed a crime. Like, I don't know. Like, it's still like, you know, even though, well, now I work at the bank. No. You don't, just because you did good after the fact.
Would it be more annoying if it was within your own career realm? So, like, for either, like, for you, Jared, if it was like, I'm a stand-up comedian, too, and they had done, like, 2 open mic nights, and they were like.
Absolutely. That's even more. That would annoy me the most. Wouldn't that, you know. Right.
Or Victoria, like if they were in a play in high school or something.
And they're like, yeah, I'm an actor. You know, like, how would you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, what Disney Channel show were you the star of? Yeah.
Oh, God. Nickelodeon, by the way.
Nickelodeon, sorry.
No, yeah, that might be a little bit of a deal breaker, yeah.
I have a question about that, Victoria. I've always wondered this. It's got to be hard with relationships. Being on a Nickelodeon show, you're like at the age that the audience is going through their like most awkward dating parts. And they kind of like keep an eye on you as like a leader for dating and stuff. Like your relationships, like I even Googled you, and then like seventh Google is like Victoria's last 10 relationships. Like how hard is that to like your whole life? Like you're kind of like the like people really take an interest in that for you specifically just because they've grown up with you.
Yeah. It's odd. I mean, I'm a very private person, and so it's like sort of uncomfortable for me to for people to know like everything about me in that way. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just it's sort of
well, you've never known anything else, I guess, right? So that's just kind of like really. What you've had. Yeah.
But it's so specific.
For her, it's probably not even weird. It's probably just like that's just what it is.
Well, I mean, but it's so specific to like that genre where it's like because you start with people when they're like 13 and they're starting to like date, like that becomes a topic for a lot of people when it's like, you know, I don't know. Like I would think that's, you know, it could be annoying, I would assume, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be annoying, definitely. There have been times where like, I remember I was like, you know, 17 or 18 and dating this guy and like just riding our bikes around my neighborhood. And then later on that day, like finding out that there was paparazzi that was taking pictures of us together, like weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just like, oh. Now everyone's going to know something that you didn't even like really want to share with the world. It's just like,
And that could have been your first hangout. And then the papers are like, they're in love. Like, and now it looks like you said that you know, it's like when your mom explains what you do, you ever have your mom explain what you do and you're like, it's way, and she explains it in a way more glowing way, bragging way that you would never do it. You're like, ah, that's not me. I'm not, you know, that good. Yeah. You know, like I would think that that happens in dating.
It's like when your mom tells everyone that you're famous.
Yeah.
But like for you, it's true. But for us, you know, it's not.
Oh my God.
Her mom's friend knows me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's like my grandma, my grand cookie, she's like so proud of me, and she'll like she like goes around with like newspaper clippings and will like at like public, so she's checking out and like, oh, this is my granddaughter. I'm like, oh my Lord.
That's so cute.
That's funny. And it's like that's one of those stars are just like us moment, you know, like we have a grandma too that does the same thing, except it's, you know, not about us in a paper, we're in the, you know, the town paper.
Like, yeah, I mean, hey, still the paper.
That's true. Well, listen, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on. The movie, it's called Trust.
Thank you, guys.
It's out March 12th on demand. It is a perfect date night movie. It does look, it's got that look. Turn down the lights, get out the popcorn, have a night with your beau, and you know, and then have a fun discussion about cheating. That right?
Yeah. Or with the, you know, your girlfriends and have a good talk. It's fun and it's sexy and it takes place in New York and it's just a fun little movie. I think you guys will like it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it has that New York, like it just rained look to it. Like everything, the streets always look wet, which is fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know that they purposely do that on films. Like whenever they
really?
They always wet on the streets. Yeah, because it just looks better.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, always.
God. I had no
Learned
idea.
That,
and
day.
It does look better. I got to say, but that's true. Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Check out the movie. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
Boom.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Madeline Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.